Good morning again. Well, if we don't turn off those monitors, bad things happen. Really bad things. But that's okay. Our God can handle it, right? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And Lord, that's what we need. We need more of you. Lord, do a work in each one of us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, you'd open it up for us. You'd help us receive it. We pray, Lord, that you'd open heaven for us. We'd learn more about you and about your ways. I pray, Lord, you'd bless your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Was everybody enjoying this nice warm weather? It will. It will. I see our wind died down. You notice that? Every day for the past 2 years, the wind has blown 15 to 20 miles an hour at least. And I looked out this morning, I thought, why is the flag hanging straight down? Is the world coming to an end? What's going on with this? Anyway, well, I got an echo. I guess it's not bothering anybody else. I'm going to start off in Isaiah 1, 2 through 6, and also 16 through 20. As far as Psalm 51, we'll get to that in a little bit. Isaiah 1, 2 through 6, and 16 through 20. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel did not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have broken the law. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And verses 16 through 20. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from the before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who your family are. We need the Lord, don't we? I remember reading about something Jimmy Carter said in an interview. The interview was with Playboy magazine, and he talked about how he admitted that he had lust in his heart for women at times. He's a born-again Christian, or so he says, and I don't doubt that. It doesn't matter who you are. Franklin Graham. He's, of course, the son of Billy Graham. And he grew up believing he was a Christian. His father was a famous preacher, an evangelist, so of course he's a Christian. He got kicked out of school. He got expelled for keeping a woman out, or a girl, another student, out after curfew. And finally, when he was 22 years old, after all those years of rebellion, and he admits that he was rebellious, he came to the Lord, and he accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior. When he's 22 years old, you'd think that being Billy Graham's son, that it would have happened sooner. But you know, it happens in God's time, doesn't it? You know, cultures may change, but the Bible remains the same. A.W. Tozer said, "We cannot afford to let down our Christian standards just to hold the entrance of people who want to go to hell and still belong to a church." Whoa. Is that anybody in here? Could be. Could be. I remember reading something about someone was talking about a woman that was unsure why she needs Jesus after the preacher spends 30 minutes telling her how amazing she is. Sometimes we need to get back on track, don't we? Sometimes we need to give those hard sermons. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, this was probably 100 years ago or so, the chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, morality without God, and heaven without hell. You know, Christianity was never meant to be comfortable. We think we can sit on our blessed assurance and everything's going to be fine. That's an interesting list that William Booth gave. I'm going to focus on two things from that list. I'm not going to say too much about forgiveness and salvation. It obviously needs to be talked about. But I'm going to talk about their counterparts on that list. Because the other two aren't talked about enough. There was a man named Zacchaeus. We read about him in Luke chapter 19. I think we talked about this in devotions the other day. He wanted to see Jesus. He was a tax collector. So he went ahead of the crowd and he climbed up into a tree to see Jesus. And when Jesus came by, he knew he was up there. He looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat dinner at your house today." And Zacchaeus said, "If I overcharge somebody in taxes, I will restore fourfold." That's called repentance. That's recognizing who you are, recognizing who that person down on the ground when you're up in your tree is. It was the Holy God Himself. But a lot of people in church, well, 2 Timothy 3:5 talks about, you know, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Not just the power to bless us, to help us, but also the power to cast judgment on us. Jesus talked about many saying on that day, on the last day, "Lord, Lord, have I not done wonderful things for you? Have I not given the offering? Have I not? You know, why are you sending me down below?" You know, just because we say, "Lord, Lord," that doesn't mean that we're going to heaven. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. And we also have to remember where we came from and who we're dealing with. Do we presume on God's forgiveness? John 3:16, of course, most people know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many times, that verse is misunderstood. They see the part about Jesus dying for our sins and us going to heaven, but it's not automatic, is it? Just because Jesus died for you doesn't necessarily mean that you're saved. You know, I saw a movie when I was a kid. We went to the drive-in. We had a little tiny car, and we could put like 9 or 10 people in that car. This was back in Canada, I think. The movie was Barabbas. And I often wondered about Barabbas. You know, Jesus died for him, literally, didn't he? Who do you want to be released? Jesus or Barabbas? Everybody chose Barabbas. Jesus went to the cross instead of Barabbas. Barabbas means son of fathers or son of the father. You know, the similarities between Jesus, between his name and some other things, and Barabbas was actually pretty interesting. In the movie, Barabbas recognized that somebody died for him. I don't know whether that's true in real life or not. I'd like to think it was, because there's no other mention of him that I can find in the Bible. So I'd like to think that he recognized that someone died for him. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Sin. Isaiah 1:6 that I read, I'm going to read it again. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? That's the way God looks at our sins. Putrefying sores? C.H. Spurgeon says, no sin, whatever it is, shall ruin any man if he shall come to Christ for mercy. Repentance. There it is, the R word. Oh, no, we don't want to hear about that. We want to hear about the manna from heaven. Psalm 51 was our opening scripture, and it's a prayer of repentance. David had sinned, of course, with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband killed when he found out she was pregnant. But if you read that psalm, and we read it this morning, that's a man that's repenting. That's a man that his heart is breaking for what he did. Repentance means to change your mind and to change your ways. It means turn and turn again. Turn from and turn to. Do the things that we do that break God's heart, break our heart too. In Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 9, God says, I am crushed because of your idolatry. Crushed. And I've talked about this before. We don't think about what he's feeling about the things we do. We know he doesn't like it. But where it actually breaks his heart, where he's crushed. Idolatry. What is sin? Sin is actually idolatry. You're making yourself and what you want to do an idol. There has to be travail. The Bible talks about that. That's like birth pains. Now, I've never experienced birth pains, and hopefully I never will. But it's about the most painful thing that you can encounter. That's what we're supposed to feel. The Bible talks about afflicting your soul. Repentance. Repentance must be real. The mere promise of it won't work. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm going to change my ways, Lord, tomorrow. If we don't take it seriously, is God going to take it seriously? Repentance must be entire. Every sin. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's talking about actions and thoughts, isn't it? And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Ever increasing amounts each time we come. Don't give up and think, well, I've already asked for forgiveness too many times. I can't go to him again. Yes, you can, because he's going to have more grace the more sin there is. That doesn't mean that we have a reason to sin, does it? Repentance must be immediate. No waiting for a more opportune time. Today is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3, today, while it is called today, harden not your heart like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. And they didn't get to go into their rest. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Repentance must be heart and soul, not just surface, not just superficial. Joel 2:12 and 13, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Rend your heart and not your garments. When they were upset or when they were showing remorse, they would tear their clothes. And God's saying through Joel, don't just tear your clothes, tear your heart. Because it breaks my heart. Repentance must be perpetual throughout the remainder of your life. Matthew and Luke, in Matthew 3:8 and Luke 3:8, it talks about bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. It's not talking about penance. We don't have to make ourselves suffer because of the things we did. Yes, our heart's supposed to be broken. But once we confess it to God, and once we ask his forgiveness, and once we really mean it, we don't have to beat ourselves up anymore. I've known people that have done that. They thought they were such an awful person that they had to live almost painfully. Many times it is painfully. But isn't that kind of like us trying to solve our own problems instead of relying on God to do it? Once we pray and we ask for forgiveness and we're serious about it, we mean it, then that'll be taken away. God doesn't remember that anymore. He doesn't want us to either. There's two types of repentance. There's legal repentance and there's spiritual repentance. Legal repentance is the fear of the punishment for sin. Spiritual repentance is the fear of sinning. Legal repentance is also the belief that your repentance is enough. Spiritual repentance is the knowledge that your repentance is by itself not enough. Only the grace of God will be enough. Does lack of repentance motivate God to send or allow disasters? I remember a lot of preachers got in trouble because they said that Katrina, the big earthquake, you know, down in New Orleans, that was God's judgment. You notice that disasters seem to be closer and closer to more populated areas? It's like God's talking, okay, you don't hear me? I'm going to move closer. Does he do that for us? Kevin DeYoung, who is a theologian and author, I'm not that familiar with him, but I read this quote of his. He said, every calamity, every tragedy, every disaster is, among other things, a divine invitation to repent. God will get our attention. Just ask Jonah. Just when everything seemed like it couldn't get worse, he gets swallowed by a great big fish. But actually, that was a good thing. Because if that hadn't happened, he would have drowned, wouldn't he? Psalms 7:11 through 12. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, or repents not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 12:28 and 29. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And 29, for our God is a consuming fire. The second word also starts with R, is regeneration. You know, it's not just godly living. It's not just admitting you've sinned. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. And 36:25 and 26, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot nor will not see the kingdom of God. He cannot not will not. It doesn't say will not see the kingdom of God. It says he cannot. Because we have to have that newness. God has to make that change in us. You know, I was talking to someone, I think it was during devotions, or it may have been Sunday night, I mentioned that I'd be willing to sell my chance to be in president for a nickel. Because I wasn't born in this country. So actually, I'd be making a pretty good deal, wouldn't I? I can never be president. You have to be a natural-born citizen. You know, no matter what I did, I could move to a South Sea island. I could change my name. I could give up the way I dress, my language, my customs. Then I can try to gain admittance to the White House as president. It's not going to work, is it? It doesn't matter what you do. It's not going to work. Because it's still not going to alter the fact I wasn't born in this country and I'm not constitutionally able to be president. I would have to be reborn as a natural-born citizen of the United States. We have to be reborn to be a citizen of the kingdom. Doesn't matter how likable I may or may not be. Doesn't matter what my intentions are. Doesn't matter what my talents and abilities are. Doesn't matter who my friends are. Doesn't matter how much influence my family has. Even if I spend a lot of money, it can't happen without being reborn. If you aren't producing fruits worthy of repentance, what does that say about the state of your soul? If you aren't showing signs of regeneration, what does that say about your salvation? They will know you by your fruit. You know, if someone despises worshiping and praising God, if someone despises being with his people and in his presence, if someone despises reading or listening to his word, would he be happy in heaven? If you don't enjoy the Lord here on earth, what makes you think you would there? Why would you want to be there? Why would God want you there? Because this is true of each one of them. You brutally murdered his son. Which is, I'm not going to say it's okay, but it's not as bad as not having any remorse about it. That is if you're not born again. We have illegal aliens storming our borders while burning our flag. They hate our people and our country. Why do they want to be here? For what they can get, maybe for what they want to avoid. Wanting to avoid hell is not a good reason to get into heaven. We're going to be in the presence of a holy God, a pure God. Can we even imagine just how pure he is? Remember years ago they had laundry commercials where your whites are so washed so clean and so white that you have to put on sunglasses. You know, it's going to be even more than that with God. Moses, just when he was in the presence of God, the people of Israel, that they made him put on a veil when he came up from the presence of God because the glory was just too much for them. Since he is as pure as he is, what would happen if sin were allowed in his presence? He can't allow it. Not remain a holy God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, please. Let's make this between you and God. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of turning from your ways and turning to his ways. But we need his help to do that. Lord, we come to you this morning. And we give you everything. With a heavy heart, we recognize that we're sinners. With a broken heart, we recognize that we've hurt you. We recognize, Lord, that you've been trying to get our attention for a long time. Lord, help me. Give me a right heart, Lord, please. Is that your prayer this morning? It should be everybody's prayer. Renew me, Lord. Lord, I sincerely repent of my sins. And I thank you, Lord, that you're a God that waits and listens for that cry of the heart. I suggest that you take some time and talk to God. About where you are and about where you could be. I'm not going to call anybody up front. How many times have people prayed the sinner's prayer and they just were mechanical about it and they just repeated what they were told? Vain. A vain sinner's prayer isn't going to work. You may have prayed that. But I encourage you to take a little bit of time this morning. And talk to God. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. Your gift of salvation. We thank you for the sacrifice you made on that cross, which should tell us that you take it very seriously. Jesus said there's no other way. And there isn't. Bless your people today, Lord. Bless our day. And bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.